You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. It is good to be back. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you to break down the Scottish Open and the John Deere Classic, 1 week away from the Open Championship at Royal St George in Sandwich in Kent as well. So looking forward to that next week with Dave. First of all, it's a good afternoon to you, Mr. Tindall. How are you doing, sir?
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm looking forward to a decent week of golf. The Scottish Open, for once, the European Tour event, seemingly once, trumps the PGA Tour event this week with a wonderful renewal of the Scottish Open. So looking forward to get stuck into that. And we've got the John Deere Classic as well, which is a stripped backfield, shall we say, Dave. It's not the highest quality events on the PGA Tour all season.
No. And you're thinking, why is anyone in the Open ever play there? But they do, don't they? Sometimes a few of them, they get that special jet laid on to leave to come over to these shores. But yeah, Scotland's the focus. Are you going to give it the full title, Dave? If you can pronounce it.
It's the Aberdeen Scottish Open. Or the Aberdeen Scottish Open, if you prefer.
Well, you've got to go with the official one, Scottish Open. What a great idea.
Yeah, it's just bizarre removing the consonants from the name, but someone's obviously thought that was a good idea. And it's got lots of people talking, Dave, so maybe it's done its job.
Yeah, well, talking in a sort of what you're playing at way, but there you go. I'm not sure it's added to the... I've been speaking to quite a few junior golfers today, and they said that they had no interest in the tournament until they heard the vowels had been dropped. So it seems to be working.
It's a top quality field, isn't it? John Rahm, the US Open champion, heads the field at 15-2 here with William Hill. Xander Schauffele is 12-1, Colin Morikawa 14-1, Rory McIlroy 18-1, Justin Thomas is 18-1, Tyrrell Hatton is 20, Scotty Scheffler 28-1, Matthew Fitzpatrick 28-1, Tommy Fleetwood 33, 35-1, Brandon Grace, and 40-1 and bigger the remainder. Top price guaranteed on this event here with William Hill this week on the top 10. Plus, we are paying 8 places each way as well. I suppose the first thing you need to discuss when looking at an event like the Scottish Open is the weather, because this tournament was played at this venue, the Renaissance Club, back in October, and the Englishman Aaron Rye prevailed. Two things to note about that compared with the 2019 edition is that because of COVID, the leading Americans didn't travel over. And conditions were what you'd expect at the back end of the year in Scotland. It was pretty dreary, and they definitely played their part. And Aaron Rye, I think, prevailed with a total of 11 under par, whereas when Bernd Wiesberger won the event at Renaissance Golf Club back in 2019, he beat Benjamin Hébert in a playoff with a total of 22 under par for the week. So completely different and contrasting scores there, Dave. And I suppose the weather will play a big part again this week.
Yeah, what have you seen in the forecast?
I've just seen that the showers forecast throughout the week and the wind is likely to pick up on Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, we're recording this on Tuesday, so things will change. But yeah, I've seen conditions suggest that it's going to play more like the version we saw 2 years ago to me.
Yeah, I think maybe somewhere in between, but more towards the sort of, you know, maybe 16, 18 under type score, maybe.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Guess.
Yeah. And the Renaissance Golf Club, it is a links test, isn't it, Dave? But is it really true links? I mean, it was only established in 2008, the golf course, and it's a par 71 measuring just under 7,300 yards. And it has been quite wet in the lead up to the championship as well. So that might have taken the sting out of the golf course to a certain extent too.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's not like one of your classic links where they were playing on it in like 1620 or something. But I when I went to Muirfield once, I did sort of have a look around it a little bit, and I thought, yeah, it isn't your classic links. It's if you were making the journey all that way up there, you'd obviously want to try and play the absolute proper links first. But there's obviously some common threads to it. I mean, it's very, very close to Muirfield. So, yeah, I think if you're looking for sort of links form, that will apply this week, definitely. But, yeah, if you're getting very specific, you'd go links-like rather than pure links.
What have you picked out in terms of the two events that have been staged here so far as key factors then? Have you unearthed anything from that perspective?
Nothing beyond what you would normally look for in a sort of links windy track, to be honest. I think you see so many courses that are inland and tree-lined that when you get to somewhere like this, I think a lot of the players do think, oh, right, we can start being a bit creative. We can play some different sort of shots, just feel that different buzz in the air. So I'll be looking to players who've got form on links, I think, just for those standard reasons.
Okay. I've got a couple of selections for this event.
Yeah, I've got three, actually.
Okay, I'll let you lead off then here.
I wonder if we'll cross. Anyway, my first one is Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah, I can see that. I was very tempted at 20-1, yeah, having fancied him for the US Open. And he missed the cut of the US Open, didn't he? But it was just a disastrous round two, really, that scuppered him.
Yeah, he's got 78 in round two and got a bit of a cob on, as he can do. But, you know, it wasn't to be for him, that event, and I think he realised quickly. But the week before, he'd finished runner-up in the Palmetto Championship. So, obviously, there's some good form very, very recently from Tyrrell Hatton, who got married not so long before that runner-up in the Palmetto Championship. So he's probably just glad to be back on these shores. He can just calm down a little bit. And, yeah, back in Scotland, which he seems to love, doesn't he? He's won the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship twice, which is obviously very relevant form. Runner-up again in that tournament, 2018. Loads of good links form. It's hard to find an event in Scotland where he's not in the top 15, to be honest.
Yeah.
Loads of it. Did well at Royal Portrush as well. Ironically, he's not quite as good as England, which is a bit odd, but a bit like Lee Westwood. All Lee Westwood's top tens, he's not playing this week, but all his top tens have been in Scotland, mm-hmm, or Northern Ireland, Lee Westwood. But yeah, Scotland, Tyrrell Hatton, they just seem to go together. And, you know, the guy's one of the best players in the world. So given the fact that he's got all this fantastic form on links courses or links style courses in Scotland and was runner-up two starts ago, I'm not sure where 22-1. I know there's some great players in the field. That's obviously a reason why. But given the edge he'll have on some of those American raiders, I think 22-1 is absolutely more than fair.
Okay. Tyrrell Hatton, I think he's just been clipped in a couple of points, Dave, because I'm seeing 20-1 here. I know we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the market, so that will fluctuate, I'd imagine. So if someone does go 22s, obviously we'll match that here at William Hill at the very least at 22-1. But at the moment, I'm seeing 20-1 on the board for Tyrrell Hatton. But
yeah, that's still fine.
Yeah, it seems fair. Seems very fair. My first selection, I'm just going double the price of Tyrrell Hatton. I fancy previous winner here, Bernd Wiesberger, at 40-1 as my first play. Obviously, there's a lot of big names in attendance this week, and I think there are some decent prices slightly down the board. And Wiesberger definitely catches the eye, considering he won here in 2019. And the expectation is that he's going to play more like, as we've mentioned, 2019 than last year. And he's prolific on the European Tour. His latest win came in Denmark just a couple of months ago. And everything bar the putter is working in full order at the moment. It was really strong tee to green when fifth behind Victor Hovland on his latest start in the BMW International Open. His iron play was good even when he missed the cut at the US Open recently. And I think if the putter warms up, he's a big threat. He excels in these mild conditions as well and in low-scoring events. And everything seems to fit for Bernd Wiesberger this week. And I thought the price was fair at 40-1 as well. So he's my first selection here, Dave.
Yeah, all good. He was certainly on my kind of list of maybe five or six or seven. Second pick, I'll go with Brandon Grace.
Yeah, 35-1.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be popular as well this week. Again, he's got some excellent form in Scotland, won the Scottish Open, this very event at Castle Stewart. few years ago now, was being runner-up in the Alfred Dunhill Links. He's just played some excellent golf this year. I mean, there can't be many in the field who've had two wins, one on either tour, since the start of 2020, South African Open back then, and then the Puerto Rico Open, another event, Windy by the Sea. So that's nice and relevant. And then, obviously, we've seen him play some cracking stuff in recent times. He was up there in the PGA, wasn't he, for a while, and then had to finish 38th with a poor final round. But clearly something was going well. And then we saw him finish fourth at Memorial, followed by seventh in the US Open. So seventh and fourth on his last two starts, added to his excellent body of work in Scotland and on Linksy tracks. I just thought 35 to 1 was fair. And just that ability he's got that maybe some of the others haven't got. You know, Wiesberg has certainly got that. He knows how to win, Brandon Grace.
Yeah.
So if he's up there with some of the sort of big name Americans, you're thinking, well, I'm not just settling for the each way here. He's a sort of gritty South African and knows how to win. So 35 to 1, I thought was fair.
Definitely. I think that price is very fair on Brandon Grace at 35 to 1. My second selection, taking a bit of a flyer with someone at three figures here, 125 to 1. And the man that stood out to me was Adrian Ategi at 125 to 1. I just think you look through his form. I mean, this calibre of opposition is much more daunting than some of those he's faced on these shores. But you look through his form on the European Tour in events like this one, and it stands up to pretty close scrutiny. He was second in the English Championship last year, then went on to win the Scottish Championship at Fairmont subsequently. Really low-scoring event, that one, where he won by four from Matt Wallace. And he was superb last week, tee to green, when 12th in the Irish Open and finished second in the Scandinavian Mixed recently as well. Now you're looking for a bit of course form. And, well, it's not outstanding. It's not off-putting by any stretch of the imagination either. He was 20th here in 2019, which is encouraging to me, and 42nd in different conditions last year. Eight places, 125 to 1, given the form he showed on the British Isles recently. I thought that was a good price on Adrian Ategi here in a high-calibre field, admittedly, at 125s.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those eight places, I think, have probably shaped my bets, if I can nick one of them. I'm going for even bigger price, Dave. 150 to 1, George Coetzee.
Yeah, as soon as I was looking, scanning the 150s, I saw his name and I thought that would be the one.
Yeah, he's just sort of played well in Links course. He played well here, actually, as well, on debut in 2019. He was ninth here, shot opening pair of 68s. Then he went 64, 66 on the weekend, made the cut again last time. Current form obviously explains why he is 150 to 1, but it's just sort of a mix of either quite good or rubbish. So, you know, 11th in Abu Dhabi, then he was down a field in Dubai, 10th at Saudi, missed the cut at the Qatar Masters, 16th Kenya Open, then he misses the cut on the same course the following week in Kenya. That's sort of how it's been. The last time we saw him, he'd had a break, maybe 6 weeks. He shot a pair of 71s and missed the cut in the Irish Open, but at least it was a sighter. You know, there weren't 75s. It wasn't too bad. He's just someone who can pop up, and when he does pop up, it can be sort of a bit out of the blue on a links track. So yeah, it's a bit of a flyer. But I thought for what he's done in the game and how he's performed on these sort of courses, 150s was worth a bit of a double.
Nice, I like it. So five selections, and all different golfers this week as well for myself and Dave. We better talk about the head of the market, I suppose, because it is such a big event. I'm fascinated to see how Colin Morikawa plays this week at 14 to 1, Dave, because he's never played an Open Championship, has he? And he's one of those, he looks like an outlier for next week. You look at his price in the market compared to the actual quality golfer that he is. He should be inside the top maybe five or six in the betting, and he's not there at the moment. And that's because of we don't know how he's going to adapt to Lynx golf to a certain extent. So his participation, I think, this week is fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. I did I wrote a piece on another website, Planet Sport, about how good a predictor this event is.
Okay.
For the Open. A bit mixed, but it seems to be that you generally get, maybe on average the last 7 years, about two players from the Scottish Open top 10 will suddenly pop up in the top 10. Well, not suddenly, but will pop up in the top 10 in the Open. And it tends to be the better players, and it tends to be if they're American as well. So if you've got one of the big name Americans playing well this week, definitely think about him for next week as well. Because you think, his price will crash. Not necessarily. When Mickelson won the Open at Muirfield, he went off at 20 to 1, having won the Scottish Open at 20 to 1 the week before.
Yeah.
Matt Kuchar, who was fourth at Dundonald, I think it was, in 2017, and he nearly won at Royal Birkdale. I think he was odds on, wasn't he, at one point against Spieth in 2017. Mm-hmm. There may be somebody like Scotty Scheffler, who, say, he creeps into the top 10 here. I'd definitely have a look at him for next week. Or even someone like Sam Burns.
Yeah, yeah.
Who maybe there's still that feeling that, they're not proper Open types. So just keep an eye on that, because there's quite some, not amazing correlation, but there's certainly some, especially when it comes to the better players.
Who else came closest for you then, away from the names we mentioned? Obviously, John Rahm at the top of the betting. It'd be interesting to see how he goes, having won the US Open, and whether he's just back and fully into the swing of things. He's probably not played much golf since then, but he's going to be of definite interest next week.
Yeah, maybe walking tall, won't he, here? And he's won the Irish Open twice on Lynx courses. So it's not like he's, coming to somewhere completely different. So he'll be, I think Dustin Johnson won the start after his US Open win. Not always the case. A lot of them sort of maybe take a step back. With Rahm, you'd think it's well within his capabilities, but I don't know. The price is what you'd expect. I didn't look at that. I didn't have to sort of look at it and think,
no,
twice, three times, four times. Shall I? Just sort of looked at it and said, nah, not really.
Okay. Any others you want to mention?
Just quickly, maybe Robert McIntyre at 40s. He had to miss the Irish Open with he didn't have COVID, but he was near someone who did. 40 to 1, Robert McIntyre. Got a top 15 on this course. Local man. Big things expected of him. Maybe he's just sort of gone out of the limelight a little bit. People thought he might have kicked on even more than he has, but he's 30 odd in the US Open. Thought 40 to 1 was okay.
Do you think Robert McIntyre is as good as people think he is?
It's a good question, Dave. I don't know. Do you think he's been overrated then by people now?
Maybe, yeah. I thought he was.
He's gone from underrated to overrated quick.
I think possibly, yeah. I think that could be the case. Well, I guess we'll find out in due course. But I was probably one of the main culprits when he first came out on tour, in all honesty. But yeah, I think maybe he's a little bit overrated now, perhaps.
Okay.
To be there alongside Wiesberger, Burns, Zalatoris, Connors, Bezuidenhout, who all have a greater body of work than him, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's the Scottish Open. Then five selections for you to conjure with. And don't forget, here at William Hill, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the market. Plus, we are paying eight places each way. Let's have a brief look at the John Deere Classic. I'm sure we won't have as many selections here. Daniel Berger is 10 to 1 at the top of the betting. Brian Harman, 14. Sung Jae Im is 16 to 1. Russell Henley, 18 to 1. Kevin Streelman, 22s. Cameron Davis, 28 to 1. Alex Norin, 28 to 1. Seamus Power is 33s, along with Siwoo Kim. And it's 40 to 1 and bigger the remainder. Both events could be really low scoring this week. And while there are different variables that come into play in Scotland, that's not really the case, Dave, at TPC Deer Run for the John Deere Classic. This will be low scoring. The greens are receptive. The golf course is short by modern day standards. It's not penal off the tee either. And these pros can have their way with this track. To a certain extent, it's not really an event that catches my eye with the lack of strength in depth from a betting perspective. Have you come up with anything here, Dave Tindall?
I've got one tip here in this one. I've not fully delved into it, but there's one that I thought, all right, okay, I'll play that. Have you got any bets?
I've not got an official selection. There are a few that I I was tempted by, but just slightly off put by the or put off by the price, in all honesty. So no official selection for me, but there's a couple I will mention.
Okay, well, I do have an official selection, and I will officially put up Aaron Wise at 40-1.
Yeah.
If we're talking birdie fest, then people with good memories, perhaps they backed him, will recall him winning the AT&T Byron Nelson with 23 under, 65, 63, 68, 65. His web.com win about 11 months earlier in the Air Capital Classic, he actually opened with a pair of 62, so he can shoot these daft numbers, Aaron Wise. And I think he's in some really good form, really. You look at some of his latest starts. He's got a ninth at Memorial. He's got 17th in the PGA Championship. He's got a ninth at Wells Fargo. Travelers, not so good last time, but he did shoot second round 65, just to remind us of that low scoring. I think it is a birdie fest. I think you need to be wheeled in a hot putter. If you look at Aaron Wise's recent putting stats, he was fifth for strokes gained putting at the Travelers, fifth again at the PGA Championship. So he's got that. And then course form, he's only played it twice, but on debut 2016, he shot 63 in round three on the way to tied 16th. Missed the cut on his other start here, but that was just a bad first round. He shot second round 67. So I thought there was enough there from Aaron Wise. I think maybe probably the very recent good strokes game putting stats sort of pushed him further up the queue in my eye. So 40-1 was acceptable. I wouldn't want to back anyone too short in this event because it does seem a bit random in terms of trying to get a handle on it. I mean, it used to be one of the easier ones, didn't it? You just back Stricker or Zach Johnson and then forgot about it. maybe there's a... You know, Stricker, he's just won a seniors major, hasn't he? So he's 40-1.
Yeah, I think people will just back Zach Johnson and Steve Stricker this week, but both at 40-1. I don't think it's...
Used to be 14s, didn't they, every year for about 5 years or more.
Yeah, I think Stricker's gone off single figures for this when he was chasing that hat-trick, and which he duly obliged that year as well, back in 2011, something like that. I think people will play Stricker and Johnson this week at 40-1 apiece. I must admit, it's putting me off because it's Seamus Power at 33-1, just because it's Seamus Power. But you look at you look at recent form and his ball striking numbers. He's almost clear at the top, really. And he's 33-1 on the back of the eighth place finish at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And it's not been, it was about the putter to a certain extent last week, but he still picked up four strokes on the field on approach and picked up six on approach at the Travelers. He's doing everything right at the moment for what you need at this golf course. Mm-hmm. So he was interesting at 33-1. I like Kevin Streelman. You pretty much can set your watch by Kevin Streelman in terms of his ball striking, in terms of his iron play. And he's putting well. He's gained strokes in five of his last six events. Just missed the cut on the number at the Travelers. And Patton Kizzire, I thought, might go well this week as well. He's a very, very good putter. And historically, it's been about the flat stick winning at TPC Deer Run. So he finished 25th at the Rocket Mortgage last week, having missed three cuts. And he has a tendency to string his good performances together. Third at the Byron Nelson, third at the Charles Schwab, back-to-back, back in May. And I thought Patton Kizzire at 40-1 might go well as well.
Yeah, I looked at... Bo Hostler at 66s, but I sort of got in mind that he was about double that price last week, which slightly put me off. If you're looking at the front end, I do wonder if Russell Henley will sort of get some late payback for his excellent US Open.
Yeah, possibly.
13th there. He played well a week after at the Travelers, just ran out of gas, which was no real surprise in the final round. Runner-up the last time he played here, Russell Henley. So if you say you wanted to play the cross Atlantic double with maybe one of the Americans in Scotland or even Rahm, you know, I think he's a worthwhile entry as part of the American leg. Beyond that, nothing amazing stood out. I said we'll have a deeper look later, but Aaron Wise was the one that I thought, right, pulling the trigger there, really.
Yeah, the only other one that I just want to mention very quickly is Alex Norén has become he's become a specialist on low scoring tracks at the moment, hasn't he? Weirdly, because you always thought of his time in the on these shows in the European Tour of him being a grinder and one that's going to like gut it out in testing conditions, and that's not really been the case since he's moved to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, he was fourth at the Rocket Mortgage, wasn't he? Shot a low climb around 64, I think it was. And plenty of other top 15s, top 25s.
Short games in really good order.
Yeah, yeah. You imagine he'd quite like this sort of test. Has he got course form? Not played it, has he? So we don't know that. But if you're looking for someone just in form who has got some nice stats, very good around the green at the Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah.
This seems a bit short off the top of my head. I don't know.
Yeah, 28-1.
Yeah. Maverick McNealy was quite popular last week. I backed him. He did okay. 40-1 again this week. Might be worth a look. But I think most people's focus will be on Scotland, I guess. I'm into that kind of double week of Scotland and then England and the proper summertime golf in this country. So I'm sort of a bit one eye, well, half an eye on the American stuff.
Yeah, and I think it wasn't quite the same last week, the Irish Open, was it?
Because
of the course. It would have been nice to have three successive weeks and three strong fields. That's got a really nice feel to it, hasn't it, when that happens, when you have the Irish Open, the Scottish Open and the Open Championship and you get three top quality fields. And I think because McIlroy underperformed last week as well to a certain extent, it sort of took the gloss off that week in Ireland.
But to have Rahm, Schauffele, Morikawa, Justin Thomas, McIlroy, Hatton, Fitzpatrick, Scheffler, Fleetwood all playing this week, it's like, wow, this is where we should focus, I think.
And obviously we'll be focused on the Open Championship next week. Don't reveal anything now, Dave, but have you already got a few names in mind?
I haven't, to be honest, no.
Oh, okay.
I've tried to sort of play it with a light hand, to be honest. I think it's one of the trickier ones, Royal St. George's. I know a few people who did back Darren Clark when he won at about 200s.
Yeah, me.
Obviously. Did you? Oh, well done.
Yeah, it was...
Did I know you then?
Yeah, I think we... I don't think you were on the podcast back then, Dave.
Right.
But I think we spoke occasionally. Yeah, I think so. I was win only back then, as well on Darren Clark.
Blimey.
Yeah, so that was a wonderful week, to be fair. But he had those breaks at the right time, didn't he? Why do you think Royal St. George's is a tough track to analyse then?
Well, maybe because I remember Ben Curtis winning there.
Yeah.
I went to that one, and I thought, well, how could you ever predict that in a million years? They do say, don't they, that it's the one that, if you read all the quotes, you do get the quirkiest bounces from like the middle of the fairway off the...
Yeah.
I think it was that Ken Brown's put up a picture saying it's quite lush, the rough this time.
Okay.
Look on his Twitter. Why did you pick Clark? You're the expert on Rob St. George's, not me.
No, I think what I looked at was you had to have winning form that year and good links.
He'd won in Spain, hadn't he?
Yeah, he'd won in Spain. Yeah.
Hula, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Plus, you'd have him down as a links type. So, with that 2011, Mickelson had a massive charge, didn't he?
Oh, he was the one that looked like a massive threat, and then he missed a really, really short putt around the turn sometime when he
That's
was coming
right,
with
yeah.
his run.
Yeah.
And that sort of took the wind out of his sails. And then Dustin Johnson.
He went out of bounds, didn't he?
He fanned an
iron. I think it was a 2-iron maybe out of bounds on the 14th.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that killed his chance then. And then Clark, he cruised in really, having looked under major pressure.
Yeah.
But I remember him birdieing the first on Sunday, and then he wobbled a little bit, and Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson both came with runs. I think Dustin Johnson should have won, really. He played the best golf that week, so it'd be...
Yeah, I think maybe if he'd won a major by that stage. There's some terrible weather, wasn't there? Was it the Saturday?
Oh, yeah, from, yeah.
I recall sort of Ricky Fowler wearing like oven gloves.
He played brilliantly on that Saturday.
In the windy Saturday, yeah, he was superb, yeah. Wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be some week, isn't it? I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we'll have some similar weather conditions as well.
Given that we've had six majors since the last Open, yeah, I can't wait for this one.
Yeah. Dave, do you want to recap your selections for this week?
Yes. So off to Scotland. I'll go a point and a half each way, Tyrrell Hatton at 20s, and then a point each way on both of these. Brandon Grace at 35s. Oh, no. Forget that. Brandon Grace, 35s, a point each way. Just half a point each way on George Coetzee at 150s. Don't want to get too carried away then.
Yeah, I'm going to point each way Bernd Wiesberger at 40s, point each way Adrian Ortegi at 125-1. I do like that price on Ortegi this week. And in the John Deere Classic, just the one pick, and it comes from you, Dave?
Yeah, point each way on Aaron Wise at 40-1.
Very good. Thank you for your company, Dave.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
Enjoyed reminiscing about the Open Championship at Royal St. George's as well.
Yes.
We'll be back next week. Of course we will, for the Open Championship. Looking forward to that. Immensely. Check out the betting for this week's golf at williamhill.com and on the app. And don't forget, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10. Plus, we are paying 8 places each way on the Scottish Open this week. And myself and Dave will be back next week for the Open Championship, the big one. Looking forward to that. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Golf Podcast. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week. If you're having a bet on this week's golf, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.